Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Making a diagnosis of bipolar disorder is no easy matter.
It's not. It's exhausting. When you read about it, I mean, you have to, first of all, have great empathy. I don't mean sympathy, I mean empathy for individuals struggling with bipolar disorder. Right. Because it is a difficult, it's a tricky diagnosis, because typically people come in for treatment because they're depressed.
Right.
They don't come in when during a manic episode, because most people like their manic episodes because frequently, not all the time, but frequently they're very productive.
Right.
They have a lot of energy, they get things done.
Right.
They feel like they don't need a lot of sleep, and they, it feels like, oh, this is great, I can catch up on anything.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like an illness to them.
Right.
And so the diagnostician, the person they're seeing, has to be very careful that when a person comes in with depression, is it depression or is it bipolar disorder?
Right. And if they do come in during a manic episode,
right,
it's usually because it's mandated or ordered,
or
it's because of
a
hospital
threat.
Reasons,
right?
You know,
that's right,
because of danger to oneself or others,
or the family is insisting because there's been a huge shopping spree,
right,
or buying spree, or
right,
something very bizarre or unusual,
right,
has happened. So yes, you're right. The manic phase is usually under duress.
Right.
Okay.
So when it comes to making a diagnosis,
mm-hmm,
of bipolar disorder, there's a couple things that we have to keep,
right,
in mind. As is always the case,
mm-hmm,
you know, we talked about this earlier this week, there's no blood test,
right,
for bipolar disorder, despite the fact that everybody wants to refer to it as a chemical imbalance.
Right.
There are no chemicals that you can assess to,
right,
say, you know, oh, that those chemicals,
mm-hmm,
are out of balance, so it must be bipolar disorder.
Right.
That doesn't happen, can't happen.
Right.
The chemicals people are referring to when it comes to that aren't measurable. I mean, you can't,
right,
really measure with any real reliability, you know, brain serotonin levels.
Right.
You can do some things to get some estimates and some ideas about how everything's working,
mm-hmm,
up there, but there's not a blood test for that.
But if you have low serotonin, you could have unipolar,
right,
depression or bipolar depression, so
exactly,
it's not a diagnostic marker.
Right.
You know, so there's no chemical or blood test or any analysis, chemical analysis that you can do,
right,
that will say, oh yes, this is bipolar disorder. There are no markers.
Right. So with that, we're sort of left with ruling out other medical issues that,
mm-hmm,
could mimic or
right,
resemble symptoms of bipolar disorder. Thyroid issues.
Right.
Is one example. Issues with hypothyroidism, but,
mm-hmm,
also hyperthyroidism can result,
right,
in symptoms, you know, consistent with either depressive or manic episode.
Right.
But other medical issues as well, substance use, substance,
mm-hmm,
abuse, medications,
right,
all of those things can create symptoms that mimic the behaviors and symptoms associated with bipolar.
Yeah, the best line I heard was, the most useful diagnostic tool,
mm-hmm,
we have, that any clinician has, is talking openly with the patient,
mm-hmm,
about, number one, their mood swings.
Right.
So you have to establish this. Sometimes I'm very energized, and sometimes I'm very depressed.
Right.
Okay, so you talk about mood swings. You talk about their behaviors,
right,
you know, and including their relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you handle, are you married? Do you have children?
Right.
How do you get along with your parents? So there's all those behavioral issues. And then finally, lifestyle habits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you sleep? How are you eating? Do you exercise?
Right.
Those sorts of healthy lifestyle habits. Because what you're doing in this initial phase is you're looking for those symptoms of bipolar disorder. Do we see mood swings? Do we see dysfunctional relationships? All those. So you're trying to find those symptoms,
mm-hmm,
that we associate with bipolar disorder. Because what we're after is the needle in the haystack is there an indication that there has been 7 days of mania?
Right.
Because that's the marker that we're looking right. for. I mean, more than anything else, that's what should come out of this assessment is, am I seeing 7 days of mania?
Right.
So that's the most useful diagnostic marker. Now, there are actually five things you could consider in making the diagnosis, and you mentioned most of them. One is you have to look at severity, length, and frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because
right.
length of the manic episode, right. how severe is it, how frequently? Because if they're up every day, if it's happening regularly, then maybe it's not bipolar disorder, right. it's something else. Second is their family history.
Right.
You know, it, because we said earlier in the week that if you have bipolar disorder in your family,
right.
your chances of having bipolar disorder increase. Right. If you're an identical twin, they go up to 70%.
Right.
Okay. And then what I like about the two things that you said is, number one, what other things mimic bipolar disorder?
Right.
A lot of psychiatric illnesses. And the main one is borderline personality disorder.
Right.
Frequently, people who have borderline look like this. In younger people, ADHD can mimic bipolar disorder. And then you have, of course, schizoaffective disorder, anxiety. Those things can look a lot like bipolar disorder.
Right.
And then what about these non-psychiatric things?
Right.
You know, you mentioned thyroid.
Right.
There's a lot of illnesses that can look that can make you look like you have mood swings.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Lupus is one. You know.
Lupus and other infections and things like that.
Right.
So yeah, there's a lot at the beginning of the process. There's a lot of rule out.
Right.
You have to rule out other medical issues. You have to rule out substance abuse.
Right.
You have to
rule abuse is important.
Right. Right. You have to rule out medication effects. You have to rule out. You need to look at family history. You know, all of that has to happen really before you even dive into, you know, specific diagnosis.
Right. Did you ever have a patient who had abused steroids?
Mm-hmm.
Or with and they look like
right.
they had? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another common one. We had we saw a patient recently who I think was for weightlifting, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he started to develop some of the characteristics of bipolar disorder.
Well, you know, the thing that happens and from a clinician perspective, what will happen is a person will come in and they will begin with the premise that they have bipolar. They will begin with, I think I have bipolar, I have mood swings.
Right.
Or my family says I have bipolar because I have mood swings. Mm-hmm. And you know, we talked earlier this week about the issue of confusing mood swings with bipolar disorder.
Right.
There's some complications there. So there's a lot of, again, weeding through history and behaviors that, again, kind of suggest or mimic bipolar. Because in that example, you know, thinking about anabolic steroids, you know, we've heard of roid rage, right?
Right.
When a person is on steroids, they're at this risk for having rages.
Mm-hmm.
And people will refer to that as a mood swing.
Right.
And so then they will say, well, he has these mood swings, so he must be bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll come in and say, I have bipolar. That's not bipolar, that's a reaction to the steroids.
Right.
The same thing with stimulants like abused stimulants like cocaine.
That's true. Methamphetamine.
Right. Those can result in even psychotic-like behaviors. But you know, so you have to rule that out before you can make and really even get into the assessment itself of bipolar.
And the other thing to remember is, we talk about bipolar disorder. We're actually talking about three separate disorders because we've so far been talking about bipolar one, the classic. Bipolar 1. There is a bipolar 2 that's not just a bipolar light.
Mm-hmm.
It's a separate disorder.
Right.
It's a completely different disorder. And then there's cyclothymia, which again is very different. And so in addition to differentiating bipolar disorder from depression, you also have to differentiate whether it's bipolar 1, bipolar 2, or cyclothymia.
Right.
And that's another diagnostic quicksand, you know, that you can get into. So it's not an easy diagnosis to make initially, And it's not an easy differential diagnosis right. to make, the difference between bipolar 1 and bipolar 2.
Right. Mm-hmm. So once we've ruled all those other things out, okay, so there's not another medical right. issue that explains it. There are no substance abuse issues that, mm-hmm. that could be, or medications that could explain the behaviors. Then we start getting into the actual clinical diagnosis, mm-hmm. and we kind of go through, not really a checklist, but we work to explore mood and mood stability right. and duration and all of that. So, you know, when it comes to depression, you know, we talked about, we did a whole week on depression recently. Right. And, you know, for the depressive episodes, it is exactly the same thing mm-hmm. as what you would get from a major depressive disorder. 2 weeks of depressed mood with, you know, anhedonia, loss of interest, mm-hmm. Hopelessness, some of those kinds of things. The manic side, however, is a little bit different because, as you said earlier, we're talking about it has to be at least a week that it lasts,
right.
unless the person is hospitalized and mm-hmm. medically, you know, acutely treated medically. Right. Mm-hmm. So at least a week or less than that if they're hospitalized, of symptoms, you know, including increased energy, increased elevated agitation,
right.
Irritability, decreased sleep without fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people will say often, you know, well, I only sleep 3 hours a night. And you say, well, you know, how do you feel throughout the day? Oh, well, I'm exhausted all day long.
Right.
Okay, well, that's different than what happens with bipolar disorder, because mm-hmm. with bipolar disorder, you'll get 3 hours of sleep per night. But it's because you don't need sleep and you're right. still going 100 miles an hour.
That's right.
And, you know, taking on more things and trying to do more things.
So I had a patient, not a patient, I had a family member tell me one, the family member of the patient, tell me one time that he was awakened in the middle of the night because his wife decided to paint the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was so she was scraping paint off the ceiling and mm-hmm. it was falling on the bed
mm-hmm.
and he woke up and there were ladders and lights and she yeah. was cleaning, and that was part of a week long right. manic episode
right.
for her. And so it is unusual
right.
Behavior, but she was very happy because she was getting this job done that she
right.
had been wanting to do for years, so
yeah.
she felt great
right.
about it. That's not the time that she would go to the doctor. She went to the doctor when she got depressed.
Right.
You know, and then it was
yeah.
later discovered that it was bipolar disorder.
Right.
So, mm-hmm.
Other symptoms of mania include impulsivity, difficulty concentrating, sometimes highly motivated, as you were just saying. Sometimes engaging in risky behaviors, even though they know sort of the potential for consequences, mm-hmm. engaging in risky behaviors, and this can include you know, spending money that you don't have.
Right.
You know, an example that I was given, I remember so vividly from graduate school, was one of my instructors talked about a patient who had to go buy new tires for the car,
mm-hmm.
but because he was in a manic episode, the tires were on sale, so he bought like 5 sets of tires. So he bought 20 tires.
I thought you were going to say he bought a car instead.
No, bought 20 sets of tires. I mean, you could just
really?
About buy your car. Yeah. Well, bought 20 tires, right? Because they were on sale and they were good tires and, you know, they were on sale, so.
And it was part of a manic episode?
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes that includes, you know, hypersexuality.
Right. Oh, that's right. We haven't talked about that.
So being very provocative and very flamboyant
seductive
in behaviors.
And, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So all of these behaviors could be associated with a manic episode. And again, if the person has those symptoms for at least a week,
mm-hmm.
And there's an impairment in functioning. Because
right.
remember, the difference between hypomania and mania is with hypomania, you have some of those symptoms, but it doesn't really impair functioning all that much.
Right.
The person is still going to work. They're still getting things done. They're not quite at the point where they're, you know, dysfunctional,
right.
for lack of a better
word. You know where you see this with exercise. You know, you get mm-hmm. people who start to exercise excessively.
Right.
Not to the point of exhaustion, but they're so worked up that
right.
they're going to, and they start exercising and exercising and exercising.
Mm-hmm.
That could be hypomania.
Right.
You know, It's not that they go to Bali to exercise. That's probably mania.
Right.
But they start to exercise. But it's important to distinguish with hypomania. It's, we mentioned length and intensity and duration. With hypomania, it's about 4 days, 3 or 4 mm-hmm. days. So it's shorter duration.
Right.
But it's also far less intensive.
Right.
And the third issue is there's more depression than mania with bipolar 2.
Bipolar type 2, right.
Right. So with bipolar 1, it's this manic episode you're looking for. With bipolar 2, there's a little less mania, more depression.
Right.
And cyclothymia is back and forth.
Right.
Okay, you have, is it fair to say, equal amounts of mania and depression?
Right, and they're lower levels, but over a longer period of time.
Lower levels of both. Stretched over a long and less intensity,
right,
and stretched over a very long, a longer period of time.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's why the issues of
severity, length, and frequency
are very, very, they're critical. Those are the three critical factors here with this.
Right.
When you are trying to make the differential diagnosis between the three types of bipolar.
Yeah, and with that, you're looking at the manic symptoms.
Right.
So, so it's, you know, there's a lot of interviewing, there's a lot of questioning that has to take place with this.
Right.
And many times the family needs to be interviewed because depending on the state of the person at the time, you know, if a person is in the midst of a manic episode, they're not going to necessarily, or even a depressive episode, they're not necessarily going to be the best historian.
Right.
They're not going to tell their biography very well. So we need to talk to somebody else who has seen this and sort of witnessed some of these behaviors so that we can get a better idea, simply to make sure that we get adequate information to make the correct diagnosis. Sure. Tomorrow we're going to talk about treatment.
Right.
And one of the things we're going to talk about with treatment is, you know, the consequences of getting it wrong. You know, if a person has bipolar disorder, but we don't do a very good evaluation, or the person hasn't had a manic episode yet.
Right.
We talked about that earlier this week. And the person is then diagnosed as depressive.
As depressed,
and given an antidepressant, the person is not going to necessarily respond very well to that medication and could potentially trigger and a manic episode.
They may respond badly.
Right.
You know, because it could trigger a manic. You know, you suppress the depression, out pops the mania.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's critical that the diagnosis is made correctly,
right?
But that's going to require a lot of information, and it's a limitation, I think, in our current healthcare system because you know, we are it is necessary for us to make a diagnosis at a first session, at an initial session, even though we've only spent, you know, maybe 45 minutes to an hour with someone, and we have to make a diagnosis at that time. It makes it very difficult.
And we are going to talk about treatment tomorrow, and one of the important components of treatment is family-focused therapy.
Right.
You need to get the family involved. Well, the problem is that if you're over 18, you don't have to allow anybody in the room.
The patient.
You can keep your family completely in the dark if you choose to, okay, at the during the diagnosis and even after treatment is recommended. And so it's a conundrum that we're in because there are times when we can't get the family involved. The patient won't permit it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a huge liability.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, but we'll talk about that.
Talk about
more
treatment tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. So the bottom line with assessment is, again, another clinical diagnosis requires a lot of time and interviewing and detailed questions.
Right.
And oftentimes information from other sources.
Right.
So, all right. That is it for today then. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and don't need to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.